Hey everyone, new season time, baby. It's American Horror Story. We're back with the Great and Terrible AHS here to talk about season four, which is known as Freak Show. I'm joined by Liz, Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey.
Hello.
And Slow Beef. And hey, Slow Beef.
Yo.
What were y'all's opinions at the time of Freak Show? Because I think y'all said this was one where you were watching, like, Liz, this was about your peak freakdom for American Horror Story, yeah?
No, it was the opposite.
Or was it before this?
It was the opposite. Coven was where I was, like, super feral. Freak Show, weirdly enough, is where I stopped watching American Horror Story because I thought, like, this season I just didn't like it. Like, two episodes in, and I was like, I don't like this. And I just didn't watch American Horror Story for, like, another 5 years.
Yeah, I'll be real. After one episode, I can totally feel that. Like, this is such a different vibe than Coven. It's unbelievable.
I have a hot take answer to that. But I'm sorry. I'll wait till Liz is done. Sorry.
Oh, no, that was it. Like, basically, I didn't watch. I got a couple episodes. As it was airing live, I got two episodes in and decided I don't actually like watching this. And then I, 5 years later, rewatched the season and finished it out and was like, oh, that would have been, like, okay, I guess, to finish. It wasn't good, but, like, it didn't stay as boring, I guess.
Ringing endorsements.
I feel like this is one of my contenders for best season, but that's not saying a lot, because there's stuff I really like about Freak Show, and it has some of the worst episodes in the series, too. It's like, some things about it are just, like, so awful that it can't quite reach good, but there's, like, a lot I like about it, you know?
Yeah, the highest highs and lowest lows.
That's it. It climbs high and falls very far because of it, in my opinion, you know? Like, it does some things right and then messes them up, which is, you know, not unusual.
And I will say, it starts ambitious, and you probably noticed already that it says part one for the first episode, and you're like, oh, no, well, this episode of TV is over an hour long. Like, they went ham on this one. Oh, yeah. This episode's long as hell, and it is jam-packed full of stuff. So, like, this is going to be a multi-parter right away, which, hey, sorry, man. They put too much in the show. What do you want from us? What do you want? They made the show too big. I'm sorry.
It's a big show.
Yeah. I have to imagine it was an hour and a half when it aired on live TV. I have to imagine it was an hour and a half.
If not probably, 2 hours, frankly, because it was like an hour and 7 minutes, and Lord knows how much they were managing to sneak ads in there. It might have been, like an hour and a half, 2 hours, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw. Holy smokes. It's so much. Well, speaking of which, shall we get started on the breakdown of the episode?
Yeah, I feel like we should, because because it's American Horror Story, I feel like we should preface. Like, I know with a lot of media revolving around circus stuff, it does walk, like, a line of being respectful about people with disabilities and being disrespectful. This is American Horror Story, so just anticipate that they're going to be very insensitive and disrespectful to many types of disabilities moving forward.
Including acting like really small disabilities are really huge in a way that's, like, weird. Like, having people have very strong reactions to, like, someone who needs like a cane, you know, it's like that kind of thing. It's like, well, that doesn't deserve that reaction. That's wild. So a lot of that as well. Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is set in the 50s, which I guess is their justification for a lot of the reactions. None of the reactions that the people have to other people in this show are the reactions that a person from the 1950s would have to, I think, most of these people. It's a lot. They react more so that you'd expect, like, a Victorian child, maybe, who had been living in a box to react.
Having the reaction of a Victorian child who first tasted a popped tart and just losing their mind.
Yeah. And it's in Florida. That's where we start. It doesn't immediately tell us it's in Florida because they start with a, like, monologue sequence, and then we get a title card that tells us where we are. It starts with Sarah Paulson's character.
I forgot about this flashback. Yeah, this is like a weird monologue that really doesn't have anything to do with anything other than, hey, this circus, fucking spooky, man. Like, that's it. That's really all you get out of it.
Yeah. So what's like annoying? Sorry, spoiler alert for 5 minutes from now. Sarah Paulson is going to play twins in this show. And it starts with one of the two twins. We only see like one of their faces giving a monologue. And they set this up to where if this was the opening scene, which it is, and then another scene later in the episode was the ending scene of the episode, it would be a pretty clever bookmark because we would understand, oh, we're seeing it from the twins' perspective. Right. They don't do that at all. No. They don't do that. They don't use this narrative device in any meaningful way. They're just kind of like they start this monologue and then they don't go anywhere with it. They like try to hide the fact she's a twin. And she's like, there's two twins. There's Bette and Dot. Dot is the kind of cynical, jaded twin who hates being a twin. And then Bette is kind of sweet and lighthearted and like nice.
Little golden retriever.
Yeah.
Little golden retrievery. Yeah.
And we get it from Dot's perspective, which at this point they don't want us to know she's a twin. So they like try to hide it for some reason. This whole like opening sequence is very long and like very weird as to like what they're trying to hide from us. I'm like, the title of it is Freak Show. Like we know. We got it. We know.
Right.
And like, she literally all she says is like, I remember that day well. It was the 3rd of September, like the day everything went to hell. And then like it immediately cuts to the title card where it's like somewhere else, Jupiter, Florida.
That's the worst, by the way. That's some like annoying Dan Brown shit where it's like, and then the worst thing ever that ever happened to me happened. But then let's cut somewhere else and we won't address that for a bit. Like, I can't stand that because nothing else happened. You know what I mean? Like.
It's like the stereotypical like record scratch. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Right. It's like when somebody goes like, are you ready for the best story you ever heard? And you know it's going to suck because you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to start a story like that usually.
My favorite, too, is that, yeah, like the payoff is always like so bad and so weak. It's like they show a character like almost dying in the first 5 seconds. And then like 10 hours later, it turns out like, oh, they were just OK. They just got knocked out for a second. And like, that's the whole resolution. And you're like, come on. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that's what they're going to do with this. I'm ready to say, come on. I got it loaded already. Ready.
Yeah. And so after the hard cut where it's like Jupiter, Florida, like it's unclear because the way that they do this, like hard cut, makes it seem like we're going directly into a flashback of Sarah Paulson's character and we're going to see like the fucked up thing she's talking about. But it's not. This is a different day because this happens like a month in the past. They just framed it really, really weird. And the way that it happens is a milkman is driving to a house. A milkman we've never seen is driving to a house. He like pulls up and he's like, oh no, the milk that I delivered last week is out here, which I would like to say, I would like to draw attention to that because that means that what he's going to discover inside has had to have happened at least prior to the week before when he delivered the milk last time because nobody picked up the milk.
You pull the milk in right away.
Yeah.
You don't like leave it there until right before the next delivery and take it in. So yeah, that does mean it is a minimum of 7 days since this has occurred. It could be as long as 13 days, right? Because it happened right after 2 weeks ago milk was pulled in.
Sure.
And what I'm saying is, like, the thing that has happened is long since happened because it had already happened before he delivered the last milk because nobody pulled it in. Just keep that in mind because he's going to go inside. He's like, Mrs. Tatler, where are you? And I'm like, you're the milkman. Like, relax. maybe just call the police. He walks inside and he's like, Mrs. Tatler, it's me, Bill, or whatever his name was. And he like finds the kitchen table full of food, like for like a bunch of people. And then he finds Mrs. Tatler like turbo dead on the ground. And he's like, oh, no, Mrs. Tatler's been turbo murdered. And we find out later that it has been assumed that she lives alone. So his natural course of action, of course, is to, first of all, remember, the table was set. So there are hella knives on that table. He picks up a rolling pin, which is not something that was featured at the table, which means he went to the kitchen to go get it, bypassed every knife in the house, went straight for a rolling pin, and then decides to go upstairs. I'm like, what are you expecting to accomplish here?
What a nosy milkman.
Yeah, like, A, you think she lives alone, so it's not like you're checking on somebody. B, whatever happened to her happened over a week ago, minimum. So the chances of the person who did it being there are like slim to none. And even if they were still there, what are you hoping to accomplish? Like, you're going to bonk them with the rolling pin? Like, what? What's the... He doesn't hear a noise. Like, he just does it. He's like, I'm going to go upstairs with a rolling pin. I think it's
going
to be good.
Here comes my hero... origin story somehow. Come on, milk rolling pin. You can do it.
And even more confusing is he goes upstairs and there's like a hallway and he hears like eerie whispering at the end of the hallway. I know this because it's what the subtitles say. like eerie whispering, like maybe a ghost or a demon has taken up residence upstairs. And then he like makes his way all the way to the end of the hallway. And he opens these double doors and then something that we don't see tumbles out. And it sounds a lot like sheet metal, but whatever it is tumbles out. And then he like yells and it cuts to black. There's not really a way to like explain why this is frustrating without spoiling what happens later in the episode. So this is Sarah Paulson's character that fell out of the closet, question mark? I don't know why she was in there. It cuts to her being wheeled on a gurney. Just her feet. We don't see it. They're still trying to hide the fact that she is conjoined twins.
Oh, Liz, spoilers, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure
I know.
The viewers
Which,
could
like,
not...
What, what an insanely stupid thing to hide,
yeah,
right? Like, it's so fucking dumb, man. Like, legitimately, it's the equivalent of the show, like, holding a knife behind its back, but, like, you're the one who places the camera. It's not clever.
It's pretty.
And also, and, like, it's nothing. It's not a reveal of any kind.
Yeah, it's
like, it doesn't change anything. It's just like, oh, yeah, by the whole way, this lady had another lady attached to her, and it's like, okay, I guess.
No, go ahead.
No. I, you know, like, we're going to see it later, too, but they are going to attempt a reveal with her. That's, like, would have been better if they'd started on it, you know? But, like, doing it this way, yeah, it's just sort of, like, they tip their hand. I'm pretty sure she was in commercials and stuff, too, you know? Like, I don't think they did a lot to keep the secret.
And, like, there's so many cooler ways to do this reveal, too, right? Like, have Sarah Paulson doing narration and have her, like... quietly but clearly swapping between two different characters, right? Like, yeah. Have her flex her ability to act and be two different characters in one set of dialogue. That's interesting then, right? It's like, wow, this sounds like she's being two different ladies. That's weird. And then later on, it's like, because she was two different ladies. And then the viewer feels smart. God, sorry. I'm just better at shows than these fuckers. It kills me.
So later on, Jessica Lange goes to see her in the hospital for the first time. And they play it like a monster movie kind of thing. Or like that she's coming in on a monster. And it turns out it's Sarah Paulson with two heads. You know, conjoined like that. But like... what I kind of sort of like about that is that it is a setup with like a misdirection kind of payoff to something a little more mundane to kind of give you that notion of like things are a little weird and freaky, you know, whatever, but they're not, you know, like, but the problem is like this comes after all these other scenes when by now you figured out that, you know, okay, I bet she's a conjoined twin, you know, and you know what I mean? Like it's not the first scene and it probably should have been, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. There will also be some stuff coming up like right here in the next scene that also like telegraphs exactly what it's going to be because it doesn't reveal that she's a conjoined twin for another like 5 minutes. I'm bringing it up because later we will find out that one of the twins, Dot, stabs the other twin. And that's why they're getting rushed to the hospital now. I would like to circle back to the guy hearing A, eerie whispering that sounded like demons, B, opening the door and something like sheet metal falling out, and C, the fact that this took place, all of this took place over a week ago. I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure that if you stab your conjoined twin, they don't stay alive for like a week. You got to go to the hospital like then, probably.
Well, I mean, stab wounds are really like without treatment. Stab wounds are kind of a binary. Like you get through it or you don't, you know?
Yeah.
But like you don't need to go to a hospital like weeks later, usually. Like it's not a case.
Yeah, like it's usually handled
after
at that
weeks,
point.
At 2 weeks it either did or it didn't, right? You either fucking died or you're like, oh, this looks bad. Oh, well.
I could see 1950s Florida like, hey, you've got an extra head. We should take you to a hospital. And her being like, no, I'm fine. Like, no, I think we should take you to a hospital. You know what I mean? Like, I could kind of see that part of it. But they do the ER rush like, oh, my God, we got to get her into surgery for this stab wound, you know?
Yeah, because she tumbles out of the closet. She, like, falls out of the closet in front of him. And he's like, oh, no. And then it cuts to the hospital.
Right.
And so before it's revealed that she is a conjoined twin, it cuts to her feet being wheeled in a gurney down a really weird, long, narrow hallway in a hospital, which seems like a absolutely dog shit layout for the ER. Like, truly, having the longest, narrowest hallway in the entire world leading to the operating room. And they get wheeled.
Gonna end up with a fucking Ever Given situation. Just a crash cart gets stuck sideways. The whole hospital shuts down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No. Oh my God. Humanity.
And like they wheel Sarah Paulson, who we still can't see, through the door, and they're like, "Hurry up! We gotta get into the emergency room. We gotta do an operation right away." And like a bunch of doctors and nurses are like gathered around this gurney, pushing her in as fast as possible, and they go past the door. We don't go past the door. They do. And then a doctor and a nurse come running out of that room, and the nurse fucking throws up into a trash can. And I would like to remind everybody that the reason why they're doing this is because they are witnessing conjoined twins. Which were definitely a thing before 1950.
Yeah.
And if you were also a doctor, you would definitely know about them.
Also, more importantly, there are real cases of conjoined twins, and a lot of them are not, like, particularly aesthetically appealing or pleasant. Like, they do not generally have the good fortune of just looking like a totally standard person with two heads and four arms or something. Like, it's usually pretty rough, especially depending on where the conjoinment has happened. This is just Sarah Paulson, but like where there's one head, there's instead two. Like it is the most like a character from Killer Instinct ass, two heads ass looking ass. Like it's just Sarah Paulson. But at the top, it's like, whoa, there's two Sarah Paulson heads. It's like the most, it's like the easiest, straightest forward we can render this consistently version of conjoined twins possible.
Right.
It's weird. It's like when they have people be like, Lily Rob, you're fucking hideous. And I'm just sitting here like, well, that's completely unreasonable. This is like a similar thing of like, this is just like Sarah Paulson, but there's two of them. And having someone like sprint out of the room and be like, it's just like, what are you talking about? It's just a regular, she's a pretty lady.
You know what, too? Like, medical oddities just exist in general. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a hospital and you're a doctor, you've got some experience with this, you know? It takes a lot to rattle people in hospitals. Not that it doesn't happen, but, you know.
I worked as a medical engineer for a good couple of years, and yeah, man, the way doctors and surgeons in particular are nonchalant about some insane shit. I watched one guy do, like, a demonstration surgery where he was, like, talking his way through it and, like, cracking jokes as he was, like, slicing slicing a man open. Like, yeah. You just can't rattle them that way. Like, he was literally doing fucking bits as he was explaining how to do this and chopping a man open. Like, seeing two Sarah Paulsons, he'd just be like, hello, miss. Hello, miss. And now he'd do a bit, and that'd be it.
And, like, you know, I know the 50s or whatever we're doing this, but, like, you also want to give people some level of dignity where you'd probably, like, call ahead, like, hey, listen, like, clear the hallway from, like, maybe, like, other patients or something, or, like, you know what I mean? So it's just not like, hey, everybody, two-headed person coming through, you know, make sure you get a good look as we're on the way to the ER. You know, like, come on. It's like,
it is. I think it's like, it almost is a, like, they're not doing a bit, but it is almost a bit the way that every, right. It's not even like these are just regular people, like, on the street, like, seeing Sarah Paulson. These are doctors. And to have them be like, like, just see.
What the fuck? I'm not cutting that open. What are we talking about? Yeah, like,
I mean, nothing in this room is 1/10 as, like, fucked up as looking at the particularly bad result of a car accident. Like, it's right. Just, yeah.
I know, and, like, that's the thing she looks like, because, like, the thing is, there's also, like, recently, like, a case of an actual, like, conjoined twin with, like, they have two separate heads on one body, more or less, and they've, like, gone to school, and there's news footage and stuff, like, fairly recent, and, like, Sarah Paulson, though, looks like a mythological, like, Sinbad monster with two heads. Like, yeah, like, Killer Instinct, I think you're right, like, because it's just like, all right, just put them, like, separate, you know, on shoulder, you know what I mean? Like, they're exactly the same height and width and everything.
I'm ready for them to, like, turn to each other and start having conversations. One of them's better at casting spells and the other one has better rushdown gameplay. Yeah, like, it's that exact character.
Right. Like, at least, like, make one smaller, I guess, you know? Come on, but whatever. They're just fine.
Yeah, so some nurses run out and throw up because it's too much, and then it cuts to a nurse and a doctor. Again, we're not supposed to know they're conjoined twins at this point. Looking at an x-ray, and the doctor's like, two sets of lungs, or one set of lungs, one stomach, one heart, two heads, two brains. I'm like, okay, if you weren't telegraphing that this was conjoined twins, you definitely are now. Like, we get it. They're conjoined twins. And then they still have the nerve to, like, hide the reveal for another 5 minutes. Like, that, like, we're going to be like, whoa! Like, we weren't expecting it.
I was thinking conjoined twins, but then they mentioned four lungs, and now I don't know what to expect, you know? But, like, good misdirection.
And the nurse just looks super freaked out by it. Then it cuts to, like, a woman who's wearing some skunks around her neck or something like that, walking down the hallway of this same hospital. We'll find out in a minute that that's Jessica Lange's character, and her name is Elsa Mars, and she's a very eccentric lady.
I just want to cut in real quick. Mm-hmm. I fucking love the term wearing skunks. I am now going to use that to describe any big fur boa in the future. Yo, that lady, she be wearing skunks. She's big, big skunking on that neck. You know she's up to some shit.
Okay, but they are skunks, though. Like, it needs to be. I'm not, like, making that up. They are skunks. She is wearing a coat made out of skunks.
I just love wearing skunks as a term. I'm using that.
That kind of summarizes her character, I think. And she's, like, walking down the hallway, and she walks up on two nurses, or, like, are they're not even nurses, they're candy stripers, which are, like, volunteers who help at a hospital sometimes.
Yeah.
But they're, like, not, like, employed, I don't think. I think they're just volunteers.
I was one, actually. Usually you get, like, young, like, teenagers or something, and it's, like a it's either a community service kind of thing. Like, I did it for, like, confirmation, you know, or whatever. So, like, it's, like, that kind of deal where, like, you go to patients' rooms, you give, like, flowers or ask them if they want, like, certain things, or, like, you wheel them out when they're discharged, you know, that kind of thing to help, like, nurses and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, little odd jobs and crap that don't require.
And if I remember right, that, like, really had a major uptick after right after World War II. Which I think is, like, when this is set, right? So shortly after. So, yeah, there was probably a pretty big uptick of candy stripers at the time.
Yeah. And the two that are talking, one of them doesn't get a name, but the other one will be a reoccurring character named Penny. And, like, they're talking about the news story about that lady being killed, and then the person or monster that we've not seen yet that's in their hospital. And then the Penny says something to the effect of, If that was my baby, I would have drowned it in a bathtub. And
wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Whoa.
Maybe good morning to you too.
They don't make broads like this anymore, you know what I mean?
Thanks to woke.
Yeah, you can't be a fucked up candy striper who drowned her kid because of woke. Right, what do they take from us?
I'm just saying, you're too ugly to live, heads. All right, yeah. Get out of here.
And then the
have
other,
some flowers, you freak. Get at it.
The nameless nurse is like, holy shit, Penny, that's kind of fucked up. And Penny's like, eh, whatever. And then she's like, also, you're not allowed to wear red lipstick on the floor. And I'm like, is this important? Are we supposed to care?
This is that usual, like, by the way, it's the 50s in case you forgot. It's like, yeah. I didn't, this jerks, also, we had a milkman.
I think they're also trying to be like, this is a lady who doesn't want to be here. She wants to be being loose and out on the town. That's what Penny wants. And then they give it to her.
Yeah. Yeah. So the skunks lady walks up to the two candy stripers. And it's like, I'm here to visit my aunt. And I'm not going to try and do Jessica Lange's accent. Because I think she's supposed to be German. Maybe.
She is supposed it's German, to be German, yeah.
It is supposed to be German. Yeah, later on, so she makes a comment and calls somebody her. Yeah. And she just responds with, or he responds with, like, hey, I had too many friends. I lost toes in the army. Don't do that shit.
Yeah.
That to me, Nazi. Which is like, oof.
Yeah, her business card is like Fraulein Mars, I think, right? Excuse me.
I say that because both her and Kathy Bates' character have really confusing accents that kind of dip in and out most of the time. Mm. With her, it's pretty solid German.
They're trying to do like German, but like French fancied up a little bit. It's kind of weird. It's why I would not blame anyone for like not getting that she was German and thinking
it's
she was like
dainty.
French or Italian,
yeah,
or something.
It's very dainty and flowery for German. It's not that it doesn't have that like guttural kind of quality that a lot of German has to it.
Not a lot of glottal stops being played hard.
Yeah. And so she whips out a cigarette, as you do in the hospital.
Hell yeah.
And Penny's like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to smoke in here. And she's like, do you want a cigarette? And Penny's like, hell yeah.
And she says what is far and away the most accurate thing this show has ever done in the portrayal of people who smoke Lucky Strikes, which is she hands her to her and insists that smoking Lucky Strikes is good for you, actually. These ones are unfiltered. That means they're good for you. I have known two people in my life who smoke Lucky Strikes, and both of them say the same shit. That's so fucking real. Like, and I'm talking like in the 2000s, in the 2010s, not in the 50s. They're still just like, oh yeah, actually it's pretty good. It's just straight tobacco, baby. It's like, no, man, no.
I'd always heard like the American Spirit one, which is like, there's less chemicals, so it'll kill you slower. You know, it's like.
I dated a girl who smoked those. And that was also why I figured out like in New York at one point, they were like $20 for like a pack. And I was like, I gotta quit smoking, boys. I can't afford this shit.
Yep.
It's pretty good. Penny straight up is like, hell yeah, give me one of those. I love smoking in hospitals also. And then she's like, hey, well, you got me here. Would you like to hear some private health information? Which I Googled it. And that was definitely already... we didn't have HIPAA because that's like digital stuff, but like PHI was like protected in the 1800s, turns out. So like you still aren't allowed to tell people about private health information. Penny doesn't give a shit.
That probably came up pretty quickly, frankly. There was probably some like king who had like a butt disease, and then he was like,
or president.
Doctor, if you tell anyone about the butt disease, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And he was like, okay, boss. And then that was the law.
Yep. And since Penny's the nasty nurse, she's like, hey, I'm here so I don't have to go to reform school. And I'm like, you're 30. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Which she does look like she's like in her late 20s, early 30s. And she's like, I'm just going to tell you all about everything that is going on here. And for some reason, Elsa, Jessica Lange's character, gives her a business card. And then it ends. that scene ends, and then suddenly,
yeah,
she's wearing like, the candy stripe tells outfit. Her,
yeah, she's like, I can tell you don't want to be here. You want to be somewhere else having fun. Here is my card. And then, yeah, just hard cuts away into Jessica now in the outfit.
She's like, need to
yeah,
talk
I took
about
it from
this.
Her, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, so is the implication that she was like, also, will I have you here? Can I have your outfit? And then I guess Penny was like, hell yeah, here you go. I don't give a shit.
You have to wear my skunks to leave because yeah. I will keep your outfit, though. I give it back to you in a later scene.
So now Elsa is dressed as a candy striper, and then she wheels in a cart of balloons towards the room that's being guarded by a police officer. And at first I'm like, do they have a police officer outside of Sarah Paulson's room because she's a conjoined twin? And then I remembered that like she's a suspect in... a murder.
Yeah.
A murder. So that makes a little more sense. Which it makes this scene make less sense because the police officer's like, you cannot go in there. It is so fucked up in there. And Elsa's like, is there a monster in there? And he's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then he's like, but you could go in, I guess. And I'm like, all right, so
you gotta see this shit though.
Yeah. I'm like,
also
are you here?
The cop stops her and is like, hey, wait a minute. You're a little old to be a candy striper. And she's like, no. And he's like, yeah, all right. Give me a newspaper. Get in there, champ.
Yeah.
That's also bullshit because there's also like old people are like, you know, candy stripers too. Just to, you know what I mean? Like to volunteer and things, you know, it's not just like whatever, but.
It's so funny. Yeah. And I'm like, aren't you here because of the murder thing? Like, you're just going to let her in? Like, what are you doing? Yeah, and she just goes in. He just lets her in, so I'm not really sure why he's there. And she goes into what is called the secure wing. They make sure to show us the signage of it. And when she gets in there, it's just a normal hospital room with, like, a normal window and a normal door. So should she feel inclined, should they feel inclined, Dot and Bette could just, like, probably leave. And spoiler alert, they will later. They will just leave. So I'm not sure what the secure wing is actually, just period. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it exists.
It exists to threaten the other patients. So if they're acting naughty, they get sent to the secure wing. What do you mean this isn't an asylum? That was a previous season? Fuck. I can't believe this.
And then, so Elsa comes in the room. And it's just like a normal hotel room or hotel hospital room. It might as well be a hotel room. And then there's like a hospital bed in the middle that has a privacy curtain around it. And I don't know why, because it's a private room and no one else is in there. So I don't know why it needs like a secondary privacy curtain. But it has one. And she pulls it back and sees the twins, and she says something in German, but there are no subtitles, so I have no idea what she said.
Mein Gott in Himmel! But yeah. Zwei Head! Zwei Kopf! Mein Gott!
Something, sorry, go ahead. Something like that. And then she's like...
Schlitterbahn.
Yeah. Then she's like... Here, grown adult women, would you like to have a balloon? You're so lucky to have a sister. And then she hands them balloons.
I brought two balloons, so there's one for each of you. Aren't I thoughtful?
Like, what?
And I'm like, how do you know? How do you know that it was conjoined twins? Like, we weren't even allowed to know until right now, even though it was super obvious. But, like, how did you know? And then the opening sequence plays, which has a lot going on. The opening sequence this time around, they let a different guy do the opening sequence this time, I think.
Yeah,
and it's
I agree with you.
It's very stylized. They like hired artists, I think, and animators for this opening sequence. It's a very like not claymation necessarily, but it's very like stop motion-y.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I kind of wish they would do that for all of them, but like themed.
Yeah.
I wish that would be something they would stick with.
Slowbeef described it as like almost like a Tool video, and
yeah.
I would say like fully agree through and through. Like it's the very stop motiony, the kind of like sort of unsettling weirdness angle they do is also very like of that era of like nu metal kind of video. Yeah,
there's a clown with a leg dick.
Yes. I'm gonna say too, this is far and away my favorite intro in the series. I think musically, like, that discordant rah, 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 kind of thing gets a little old, I think. Mm-hmm. But they introduce, like, this calliope for the I don't know how to describe music, but, like, there's a calliope, like, that, you know, kind of sound.
It's circus-y. And it's almost like it's a carnival-y. Yeah. It's very carnival-y.
Yeah. And it's like it just works. It's very like unsettling and disturbing. Like, I really like the intro for Freak Show. It's like on the opposite end of the spectrum is Cult, when it was just like weird trumpets everywhere, and you're like, this is scary. Like, no, stop this, you know. But
here's a bee. What do you think of this?
Here's a dead dog, I guess. You know, yeah.
Is this scary?
Boo! I put a hamster in a microwave.
It was a guinea pig.
They just did shit in Cult. That was so based. They just did shit.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, the only two like openings that I remember like being memorable for all of the seasons were Freak Show and 1985 for like the music of it. They did a good job with those two, in my opinion. Everything else is kind of questionable.
I like the way they stylize the music. I think you're right. I think the leitmotif is just like a little too weak for how much they really hammer on it, even in like a intro, right? Like it's a case of like how repetitive could one leitmotif be in 1 minute and 10 seconds? And it's like the answer is like a good deal, actually. If it's like four notes and you just keep doing them, it can wear pretty thin.
It also, you know? I think it helps that like the American Horror Story logo and font it lends itself to like being very circusy, I think. So the aesthetic kind of all works together as like a whole
package.
This is
one I'd say, like if you're at a computer or something, you feel like, you know, don't ever pause this podcast. But if it's worth like Googling or seeing it on YouTube, I think like they'll like what it looks like, because I think it's pretty cool, actually, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's worth watching. Not the show, but like the opening.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Leave the watching the show to us. We're willing to fall on that grenade for everybody. So now it's outside of the same hospital, and it like makes sure to show us that we're at the hospital, and it cuts. It doesn't say like when, how much time has elapsed, but now Elsa has like brought the girls a dress to wear when they leave. This is where American Horror Story, just go ahead and like buckle in, because this is going to be what it is for the rest of the season. They are going to insist that conjoined twins can communicate telepathically. Clearly.
Can you
like,
prove they can't? Oh, you can. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, how, like, do they like pass thoughts back and forth in the spinal column? Like, how the fuck does this work? Like, because their brains are fully separate from one another. It's two skulls with two full domes up top. Like, those aren't attached except through the spine. So, like, thoughts form in the pelvis. That's right.
I have to say, I spent a considerable amount of time looking up whether or not there was even like some conjecture as to whether or not this is the case. And
there's a lot of very bad science done by a very specific group in World War II about twins. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, I don't believe so.
Yeah. And the only thing that like legitimate doctors and scientists have tried to like maybe prove, and even then they had no conclusive evidence, is that conjoined twins who are joined at the skull and share brain matter with one another, maybe, and at best ones that do not, sometimes like if one eats something the other one will feel full. That's like about it, because you're the part of the nervous system,
and that's
that
the
does
torso
it. Yeah,
that's the torso being shared. Exactly,
your brain gets
that
same
part
feedback.
Is the same.
Yeah, it gets the same feedback. But you cannot telepathically communicate. It's important that we say this, because this will be a huge plot element moving forward. The fact that the twins can telepathically communicate with each other without speaking and read each other's thoughts, and this is taken as gospel truth by us, the audience, without questioning it at all, huge, huge plot point for the rest of the show. It will dramatically affect many plot elements moving forward. So just suspend your disbelief and believe that conjoined twins, know that we know that it's not how it works. But also know that the show wants you to think that's how it works.
In this show, there are two characters that are separate characters, but are the same character and share an internal dialogue. That's all you need to know and accept. There are two people have the same internal dialogue.
And
that's
telepathy.
All. Just trust it.
Yeah,
just believe it.
And telepathy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the internal monologue. They just share the same space. I guess it's not really a monologue. It's an internal dialogue at that point, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Doesn't come up a lot.
No, it doesn't.
Probably reason for that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things where I had to stop, just in this episode alone, where I had to stop and I was like, hey, what would happen if a conjoined twin did this, actually? Like, how would we handle that? There are some interesting answers you'd find. Anyway, so they can communicate telepathically, and they do this frequently in this episode alone. Elsa is like, hey, you guys need to start like talking to other people that aren't me because they think you're dumb. They're literally writing in the newspapers that you're dumb. So you should start talking to people. And then they start doing this thing. The show starts doing this thing that could be very clever, but they kind of fuck it up in like the first 30 seconds where they start doing a split screen POV where we see the same shot from different angles. And it like could be clever. Because it's like, it's just a little off. Like, the view is just a little off. And you're like, oh, okay, so we're seeing from one twins, we're seeing both twins' POV, which we don't need to see. But it's like, it is a they were being brave and doing a stylistic
cool.
choice.
Yeah.
You can do cool shit with the camera and the framing just for the sake of doing cool shit with the camera and the framing, right? Like, yeah, right. Why not? It looks fucking cool. Like, yeah, the screen splits into two and it's like, oh, cool. We're getting two separate halves of the same picture. It like gives us an idea of like how they perceive the world separately from each other. They give up on this in like 10 seconds.
Literally. Oh, yeah, literally in 10 seconds, it switches from being that, which is kind of clever, to now it's a side-by-side of one of the twins' faces and the other half of the screen is their POV. And it's like, well, I don't need like a picture-in-picture to understand what twin is seeing what. Like, I can pick it. I got context clues. I can figure it out. They give up on it, like, immediately, which sucks. Because they'll use it a few
or
more
even,
times.
You could even have fun with it by making it unclear which viewpoint is which and then playing with it later. Like, yeah, there's stuff you could do, but nah.
Yeah. And then Bet, the, like, sweet one, is like, have you ever met Betty Grable? And Dot's like, shut the fuck up. In their head, Dot's like, shut the fuck up. And then Elsa lets Bet smoke a cigarette, and then Dot coughs, which is confusing given that the doctor said they had two sets of lungs. And I guess that windpipe is connected to Dot's lungs. So that means Bet's windpipe is connected to Dot's lungs, which is confusing. And then Elsa's like, we're going to rapid fire 20 questions. And I'm going to ask you so much inappropriate shit that it's going to blow your mind. Also,
right?
It's going to go nowhere. I have no reason to ask these questions. I'm just being weird.
Hello, girls. You ever had how you say in English, pussy eat?
Yeah.
Anyone
ever ate your coochie?
What the fuck are you talking about, Elsa?
Like, no one's ever had your cherry pie. Like, oh, nice to meet you too, Candy Striper.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. Yeah, it goes nowhere. There's no need for her to know that.
It's legitimately like walking up to someone and being like, hi, nice to meet you. What's your body count?
Yeah.
It's just like very bizarre behavior.
You ever jork your peanuts? You ever jork your peanuts on a day?
Straight up at the club.
You look like you must have jerked someone off before. Am I right?
Me walking into a
Holy
hospital
shit.
And asking someone in the hospital bed, hey, how many times a day you jerk off, you think?
Like, is that appropriate? Like, you could blow two guys at once, couldn't you, right? Like, that would at least be like, all right, I guess, like, you're a weirdo, but this is just like, you ever fuck? Like, do you ask everybody that?
And, like, she doesn't even give them time to answer, really. Like, she just keeps rapid-firing questions, and then she finally lands on, like, do you ever straight jork it in the club? And Bet is like, yes, I think it's fun and it's cool. And Dot's like, I've never jorked it once in my life. I would never jork it.
I hate jorking it. And she's like, she closes her eyes and pretends she can't hear it, but it kicks ass.
What a rube, right? Hey, you're okay, Candy Striper. Give me a
high five.
Let's talk about our sexual conquest now.
And then Dot calls Bette a slut and then tells Elsa to leave. Now it's time for God's Specialist Little Boy. The highlight of American Horror Story Freak Show and everyone's favorite little fella, Twisty the Clown. He was
the least intimidating killer in history is here.
Ty, you don't even understand. He's only going to get so much less intimidating as time goes on.
He literally looks like someone I used to run long sets of Tekken with, who was like a big, goofy, silly guy. So it's so hard. I can't take him seriously. He's just like a big boy.
Like, this guy is a fucked up murder clown, but in a lot of ways, he's also baby. So you'll see. He is baby, and he is very, you'll see. Anyway, we're at Lake Okeechobee, which is outside Jupiter, Florida. And it's the scene that they did later in Cult that was in that comic book that was like a funny misdirect. Because remember how Cult had clowns in it? So two teenagers are making out by the lake. The girl wants the guy to grab her boob. And he's like, no, I don't want to have a baby. And I'm like, hey, brother, do you know there's like 5 million sexual activities you could do that don't end in a baby? Like, just touch your boob, dude.
It was the 50s. No, they didn't.
Yeah, that's fair. But she's like, hey, I stole 2 condoms, so it's fine. We'll be fine. It's fine. We'll be great. And then he goes, wait, I have something for you, too. It's in my car.
This is brutal. This is like the level of, even if you are someone who is so bad at recognizing you are being hit on, there is a hard limit. And it's when you're like, I don't know. And she grabs you and goes, I brought condoms. Get your pants off. And this guy's like, to the car with me.
Yeah, he goes, I need to get something for you from my car. I'm like, what a fucked up response. And I'm like, also, he never gets whatever it is from the car, so we'll never find out what it was. But
what was so important?
Yeah.
Were you playing Marvel? Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
He just fucks off to the car for a few. And I don't even really know why. It's so that we, like, get. There is a very funny, like, interaction because of it. But, like, he fucks off to the car, which is, like, 20 feet away. And then she's like kind of like straightening out the picnic blanket and waiting. And then God's Specialist Little Fella, Twisty the Clown, comes out of the woods and she's like, oh, fuck. And she's like, oh, hey, little buddy. And if you've not seen Twisty the Clown, he's supposed to be a scary clown. He's like real tall and he's kind of grayscale and he's real dirty. He's like got big patches of like tufts of hair, kind of grimy. And he wears a half mask across the bottom of his face. That's like a big Joker smile. Clearly not a funny ha-ha clown. Like, you don't look at him.
Charming green eyes. Beautiful jade eyes.
Yeah.
Other than that.
You don't look at this guy and go, oh, a funny, silly, fun clown that's fun right. And here to have fun with me.
He's got, like, stitches and staples on the top of his face. Like, it's very clearly, like, a gore clown of some form,
bad
you know?
Clown,
like,
right, yeah.
Yeah. And especially so in the time period where someone saw 2 Sarah Paulsons at the same time and instantly had to throw up. I think you would see this clown and be like, ah! And just, like, pop like a balloon or, like, your head would burst like the guy from Scanners.
And she's like, oh, fuck, oh, shit. Hey, little buddy, what's up? And he's like, he bows at her and then does a funny magic trick and pulls out some flowers. And she's like, oh, sick, that was cool. Good job, bud. And then he pulls out the juggling pins to, like, start juggling. But her boyfriend comes back and is like, whoa, who the fuck is this? And she's like, you didn't hire him? And I'm like, why?
You didn't hire him?
What do you mean?
You didn't hire him? Yeah.
Imagine serenade us before banging?
Imagine wanting to hang out with someone but not fuck them so bad that you leave your car and hire a spooky clown to divert her.
Like,
just
like
break up with her, bro.
I like the implication, like, this is going to get her in the mood.
You know what would really add some
like
romance?
She was already grabbing me and begging and going, honey, I have the condoms, please. No, but like, I got to get the clown here.
he's twisty juggling and he's like, whoa, this is going to make her so wet.
Like, she is going to fucking love this guy.
Oh my God.
And then he tells him like, oh yeah, just go wait in the woods for about 15, 20 minutes. When she makes me grab her boob, then come out. I'll go to the car. Yeah. That'll be the signal. And she's like, you didn't hire him? And then he bows again, and then he knocks them the fuck out with the juggling pins.
I want you to know the way he moves and attacks them is not threatening. It doesn't convey a great amount of force or strength or intent. It is Bart Simpson doing a windmill with his arms going, I'm going to spin my arms like this, and if you get hit, it's your problem. And it instantly floors both of them. Holy shit. Take a step back.
Like, I need you to know, I was doing notes for this live on stream, and when this scene happened, I laughed so hard for like 10 straight minutes. There's just 10 minutes of me laughing because it is so funny. It's so fast, and they both just get fucking flattened right away.
It legitimately, it's like there's a scene in the film Kung Pao, which is a comedy film where both of the characters' arms get paralyzed and he just kind of flops around using his torso to kind of slap at guys with floppy arms. It's basically that. Like, he just straight up like flops his arms at both of them and they're just like, ah! Just instantly get knocked out.
The Dark Souls font, you died. Oh my God. So then that's the end of that scene. Then we cut to a diner somewhere else. Else is there.
Oh, wait, there is a chase sequence. It knocks him out. And then she wakes, or then he stabs the guy with the scissors a bunch, and then she wakes up, comes to, sees him stabbing her boyfriend with the scissors, gets up, starts running, immediately beefs it, and then again, the clown starts chasing, and it looks like my buddy Knox, like, trying to sneak up on a toddler as a joke. Like, it does.
Big,
it's
I'm
not
gonna
an
get
intimidating
you.
Run.
I'm gonna get you.
Yeah, it really is like, oh, Uncle Knox is gonna get you. Like, it really does feel that way.
Twisty is my sweet baby son, and everyone should be very nice to him.
I have a case to make for Twisty, which I think Twisty is actually one of the better, like, American Horror Story monsters in the series. Like, you know how they all have, like, Plastic Man and, like, Bloody Face and all that? Because, like, there's one thing I actually like a lot about Twisty, which is, like, you don't really know what his deal is because, like,
he has no motivation.
And that's the thing. And he does, like, and what's really messed up and weird and kind of, like, freaked me out when I first watched this a bit is he tries to do, like, normal clown kind of things. Like, obviously not in the correct context, but, like, he'll juggle, then he'll kill you. And it's, like, weird, but you're kind of like, what is this guy's deal exactly? And it's, like, kind of scary because you don't know his motivation or why he's doing it. I hope they don't ruin that. Anyway, so...
And it also just, like, it also harkens back to one of my favorite horror tropes that's become, like, a lot more common in, like, the, like, modern, like, found media and, like, collective fiction internet stuff of just, like, a weird thing that just calls for you with basic human phrases that humans react to, like, hey, did you see my dog? Or like, hey, can you come help me with this? And stuff like that. And then as soon as you turn around, you fucking explode. Like, it's like that of just like, huh, weird clown. Okay, well, he's blowing up a balloon. That's fun. And then the knife comes out. Yeah, exactly. It works. It's better. It's so much better than being like, he loves to kill people because his mom didn't give him enough titty milk.
There's no colostrum. Yeah.
Or like
my colostrum levels.
What's like, have you ever seen the movie Nope? Which is like, by the way, like, amazing horror movie. But like the Mr. Gonzo, I think his name is, the scene where like, it's like, this monkey on stage that's like killed a couple people and the kid's like hiding under the table and it sees the kid under the table, but he doesn't attack right away or do anything. And it's so freaky because you're like, not sure what's going to happen genuinely. And you know, Twisty is like not a 100th of that scene, but it's the same kind of thing too, where you're just like, you don't know what he's doing, you don't know what he's about, and and he's like got like Tyson too, like those human things about him where it's like, what's going on here? You know, it's really, it really had a lot of potential, even though it gets kind of silly when he does stuff and other reasons.
Also, like, especially if you've lived in cities and stuff, like, well, yeah, running into a kind of weird, a little dirty, confused guy isn't that rare of an occurrence. And, like, having the thought of, like, that converting into you get killed is, like, pretty scary.
Yeah.
That is a real-ass fear, 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. He's a little guy, even though we don't know anything about him yet. Believe me, he's a little fella, and he's delightful. Every time Twisty's on the screen, I'm full of joy. Anytime he's not on the screen, I wish he was on the screen. He's no longer on the screen, regrettably. It is now a diner, and Elsa's clipping articles, question mark, from the newspaper. She is fucking malding about an actress in a movie who apparently was dog shit or something. I guess this is us learning that Elsa is tilted about other people being successful in show business.
She's bitter about Hollywood. Yeah.
As she's there, she, out of the corner of her eye, she catches a glimpse of Evan Peters across the diner, and that is Evan Peters as his new character, Jimmy Darling. One of my least favorite Evan Peters characters. He's a lot to deal with, and he's going to continue to be a lot to deal with. He's dressed in all black leather with, like, a cabbie hat. I feel like that would probably turn some heads. And he's wearing mittens, which I feel like would maybe get a little bit of attention in the 1950s. Maybe not. I don't know.
Or a biker.
Yeah.
Because they're leather. They're leather mitts, to be clear. Yeah. Like, it's not like a common type of mitt. It's like a rare mitt.
Yeah, and he's, like, flirting with a waitress, and Elsa looks mad about it. So she goes over there, and she's like, "Hey, Jimmy." And he's like, "Ah, fuck." And then he tells the waitress to fuck off. And she's like, "Is that your mom?" And he's like, "Fuck off." And then they start having a conversation, and we get a flashback to Elsa holding what is a grown-ass woman. And I don't think the implication here is that she's not supposed to be a grown-ass woman. In case you're curious, it is the world's shortest woman, like, real, parentheses, real.
Yep. Yep.
They treat her like she is an infant for the rest of the show.
Yeah. I'm glad she got paid. I'm glad she got paid. Good on her. She's probably had a real fucked up life. I'm glad she got some bucks. Because, like, yeah, they do not treat her respectfully in the... They literally pick her up and are like, "Weehee, baby, help with the laundry." Like, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, Elsa's like, this is my baby woman. And she's my age. So, not Elsa. The Ma Petite is the character's name. She's my age, so it's a little weird to think about Jessica Lange picking me up and being like, "Your mommy's baby."
A little Michelle Fumo or something. Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Because I'm baby now.
Yeah, I'm baby. And she just, like, puts her down, and she's like, "I'm doing laundry out in the field." And some guy shows up. That's the one who's like, don't say German stuff to me. I was in the war." And she's like, "Whatever."
She does say something that's pretty funny, which is, "You Americans are so sensitive. You won the war," which is, like, kind of a good bit.
Yeah. And he's like, you got to get out of here. And she's like, "Why? We're paying rent on time." I'm like, "For the field you're in?" And he's like, "Yeah, you got to get out of here." And at first, when I was watching this on stream, I was like, "For the field? Like, why is it a pressing..." He's like, "You're not making any money." I'm like, "It's a fucking field. You're not making any money. What do you mean?" And then he's like,
"We were going to have the state fair here, but we can't because your tent's in the way. Like, what are you talking about, man?"
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, no, I got a preacher who wants to set up, like, a prayer revival here, and he pays up front." I'm like, she says you signed a lease. I don't think you can do that. They could, she's just like a lady. She could sue you or whatever. But whatever. And also he's like, "Also, my wife hates the circus." And then, like, she offers to, like, bang Thanks. Him or something. And then the flashback ends. So I guess that worked. And he's like, he being Jimmy Darling is like, "God, so how did you get us a few extra months there at the field?" And then I guess the implication is that she sucked his dick. I don't know. Then Elsa goes to leave and says one of the funniest things I've ever heard a human being say. the waitress is like, hey, before you go, can you pay your check? I need to clock out. And she goes, it's on the house. And then she just fucking leaves.
A star never pays. It's on the house. A star never pays, which is insane.
it's so funny. We can speed run this.
Ma'am, a star doesn't eat at Waffle House.
Yeah.
One here. So, like, let's calm down on who's a star. Yeah.
For our final scene of this episode, roughly one quarter of the way through the actual television show, we'll speed run this part because I knew this was coming the second I saw Jimmy Darling. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck, I forgot what this dude's deal was. Then I remembered immediately. So they're at a house party. They being us, the camera, is at a house party where a bunch of housewives are eating deviled eggs and complaining about how their husbands never have sex with them. And then as they're having conversation about how their husbands never have sex with them, another lady comes out of the bedroom all like fucked up and her hair's like all fucked up. And she's like, oh, like kind of like dazed. And then another lady comes out and taps the shy lady on her shoulder and is like, it's your turn. And she's like kind of nervous and she walks down God's darkest hallway to this one lady who's hosting this event's bedroom, which holy shit, why would you let this happen in your own bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah. There has been there's a famously known thing of like try to avoid having the party at your house if you can during like college years. This is like that to the 100th level. This is like you're actively being like, I, in fact, do want every human being's DNA right where I
want so much cum on my bed. So much cum. As much cum as you can possibly put on my bed.
Finally.
I would love that, actually.
I just want my sheets nice and crunchy in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want this bedroom to smell fucking funky. I want it to be impossible to sleep in here.
My husband, like, what the fuck is this? Every woman in the neighborhood came here.
Literally. So she comes in and Jimmy fucking Darling is waiting and is like, all right, come on in, lay down on the bed. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. And she lays down. And then it's revealed what's quote unquote wrong with Jimmy Darling. And it's a condition that I'm sure has an actual medical name, but they call it lobster claws. Yeah.
It's just fused digits. Yeah, he just has fused digits is the big thing. Like his pointer and middle finger are fused and his pinky and ring finger are fused. And they're also like grown out and monster-fied a little bit and given a little side case of elephantitis or whatever. But he's just got two big fingers, like really big.
You know,
that's it.
I've never been, you know, fingered in my life. But if I had that predilection and I saw someone with deformed hands, I would say, please get that in me right now, actually. Thank you. You know, it's like,
what can I say, man? I eat a single gooey duck at the fucking the Chinese place. And I'm just like, I need that in me.
Hang on a second here.
I got to see what this is about. Also, there is no indication because he never leaves that room that he washes his hands between this.
I was going to say, right?
This was before germ theory.
Sexually transmitted diseases, not real in the 1950s, turns out.
It is Florida.
Yeah. And then he just finger blasts her with his big finger. All of them, I guess. All of the ladies are there.
How do you introduce this party? You know what I mean? Like, I get it's supposed to be like a Tupperware party or like a perverse thing. Or, Sheila.
I got a dude with a huge cock at my place. You want to get fucked? You want to come over Thursday?
That's what I would.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You know how you always complain your husband isn't giving you the business enough? I know a guy with a weird finger, and he's going to fix your shit.
That's what they say.
Lobster claws ain't cheating or something, I think.
Oh my god.
All I need to fix me is one man with a weird hand. And that'll fix me.
And like,
well, George, He had lobster claws and he could reach places you never could, literally, because he had giant hand lobster claws.
My thing is, like, you could just, like, get a regular guy to do this. Just, like, ask a regular dude to, like,
there
do
are
this.
Objects. There are objects made for doing this. Just, like, actually,
there are companies that specialize in making different shapes of these objects. That's right.
Yeah. There's a lab somewhere, you know?
I just never thought about that, but you're right. There's a lab somewhere. Someone's job is designing this shit.
They have focus groups of a kind, I bet. You know?
Oh, man. How do I get in on that? There's a job.
It's such a cool scene. So he does that, and then it cuts back.
And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
To be clear, like, that's just like it shows him getting ready to slide him in, and then we just hard cut to the hospital.
No, she finishes. We see her finish. We have to watch it from her POV.
Oh,
we have to get fingered by the lobster man.
Right.
Finally.
Did a good job. Yeah.
He'll fix me.
And I'm like, I guess to his credit, like, there is the bar's in hell, but it takes a little bit of skill. Like,
honest day's work.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, he at least knows what he's doing, I guess. Feels like at some point he might just be like, I could just use my penis if you want. But alas,
we don't pay you for that.
I'm an artist, all right.
Do you have two of them next to each other and they're both huge? No, one regular penis. Get out of here.
I'm sorry. I either do the job amazingly or not at all. That's how this goes, Jimmy Dolling, professional finger blaster.
Yep.
I had my business cards and everything.
Professional finger blaster.
Could you use your penis?
Diabolical.
To what this character achieves.
Could you,
but you're 100%
could you
diabolical.
Put your penis in me? Excuse me, madam. I'm not a prostitute. I'm a skilled laborer, thank you.
They later on do make a big point of this, by the way, of like, my monsters are not prostitutes, but Jimmy Darling's out here like, I want to be a sex worker, for real, and no one will let him.
So we still have roughly 50 minutes of television left, just so we're clear.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, for what it's worth, the later parts are going to speed up a lot. There's like multiple musical interludes that fill a shitload of time and serve very little purpose other than like, get them, Jessica Lange. Have fun. Hope you had a good time out there. So we'll definitely pick up and pace. So don't worry. This isn't going to be like a 7-parter or something. Might be 3. we'll see.
Who could say?
Thank you so much for listening. And hey, if you've enjoyed this and you want more content, we have a ton of bonus episodes up at patreon.com/... great and terrible scrolling.
Great
up
and
rapidly.
Terrible AHS, all one word.
All fully written out, all one word, no symbols. Thank you. And definitely check that out. We have a bunch of bonus episodes from the Stories seasons, which are the Hulu exclusives, where they're individual episodes that try to fit the energy of one whole season of American Horror Story into 40 minutes. Do they succeed? It's a good time. You'll want spoilers. They don't, but you'll love it. So
you will.
Feel free to check it out. Thank you so much. We'd appreciate it. Oh, oh man. Well, till next time, everybody. Hope you have a great night. Thank you.